it's Steve and Dave again. We are two guys in a river. I'm Steve Mathewson.
And I'm Dave Getz.
No doubt we all want to catch more fish. I want to, and Dave needs to.
Ooh, that hurts.
But we're all about fly fishing and our love for the outdoors, so let's get after it. It's no secret why we like to fly fish. We like to catch fish. I mean, it's simply addicting. There's nothing quite like seeing a trout emerge from the deep to inhale a size 18 PMD or purple haze. There's nothing like feeling that tug when you're stripping a streamer through a dark pool. That's why we fly fish. We like to catch fish. But there are some other perks we enjoy too. They are the little joys that add icing to the cake. Or sometimes they are more than little joys. They can make our day, whether we've caught a lot of trout or next to nothing. Maybe our conversation will make you more aware of the perks you enjoy when you fly fish, so grab a cup of coffee and listen in. Dave, what's a perk you enjoy? Maybe one you wouldn't normally think of.
You know what, Steve? You would never grab a cup of coffee.
No, that's true. I have a mutant gene. I don't like coffee. My family does. I love the smell of it, but you know what happened? I think my grandpa ruined it for me. So he was a Pennsylvania Dutch farmer, and I remember those days back on the farm when I was a kid, and he would have something called coffee soup in the morning.
Say what? So never heard of that.
Coffee soup, yeah. So he would take like two slices of bread, he would tear it up, put it in a bowl, put sugar on it, and then dump coffee over it. And that
no
was coffee
way.
Soup.
So no
I,
way.
One day I was about nine, I wanted coffee soup. So I made some and I took a bite and I don't know what I did, but my grandpa just laughed about it till the day that he, almost the day he died. Whenever I'd see him, he would say, "Do you remember that time when you tried coffee soup?" He would start laughing. So anyway, I blame it on that, but I've just never developed a taste for coffee. So that's not a perk I enjoy, but hey, I still want everybody else to grab a cup of coffee and listen in.
All right, so this is
nothing
a really
wrong
important...
with that, right?
This is an important moment, Steve. This is a story I have never heard. So after what, 42, 43 years of hanging together?
Yeah, that's right.
You've never told me that story.
Right, right. And you know, as well as our listeners know too, any good story I have, I repeat it.
Yes, you do.
38 times. Yes, so.
And as we're getting older, we forget the stories we've already told.
Well, I know it. Yeah, which by the way, what in the world are we talking about today? Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. We're talking about the unexpected perks of fly fishing.
So one of the, and this is one of the top perks for me is always the people that Steve and I meet.
Yeah.
And it's always better if we're together. Like I fly fish alone or maybe with my brother or with, you know, I fly fished with other people. But when I'm with Steve, for some reason, we always run into these strange or wonderful people or we hear stories about these people. So last fall, we were fishing a creek in the Gallatin Valley about 30 miles from Bozeman, and we got to the edge of this property and our friend said, "Hey, I'm going to walk down to see if the owner of the next ranch is fishing." So he told a story about the guy and he said that the owner of this adjacent ranch was a guitar maker. And so one day our friend had asked him, "So who do you sell your guitars to?" Because he's probably like me thinking, a guitar maker in the middle of Montana, really?
Yeah, right.
Like on this ranch?
Yeah, how do you afford a ranch?
Yeah, how do you afford a ranch? Exactly. So anyway, so our friend asks this, quote, rancher, unquote, who he sells his guitars to. And the guy replied, "Well, Willie, Waylon, Bonnie, and Chris." And that would be Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Bonnie Raitt, Chris Christopherson.
Man.
And a whole bunch of other country. And
that's a who's who
that's
of
a
country
who's who.
Music.
Wow. So, and come to find out, of course, it's hard to verify this, but apparently each of his guitars sells for somewhere between $150,000 to
$250,000. Man.
I mean, you could only, I mean, just think, if you made two a year and sold two a year, you'd be in the chips.
Wow, man. That's amazing.
How about you?
Wow. You know, yeah, there's so many interesting people we've met. I thought a really cool moment was last fall at a trailhead where we were fishing in Yellowstone. And We had just finished fishing, and this couple had they were just starting. Well, it was at a scenic overlook, and so we ran into them, and they wanted to know what fly fishing was like, and they said they were from Florida, but they were from Tel Aviv before that, and they were Jewish, and I just love Jewish people, and so we had so much fun talking about Israel, some of the places I visited, and I think, you know, they didn't expect to meet anybody who had ever been to Israel and Yellowstone National Park, and I didn't expect to meet anybody. And so, yeah, we had this great conversation, and they were really interested, weren't they, in fly fishing?
They really were. Great questions.
It was
questions.
A couple parents and then their son. And so when we left, I said, Erev Tov, Shalom Aleichem. That is, good evening, peace to you. And it was fun. Their faces brightened, and they
got a big smile on their face. Like, he even pronounced it correctly.
Yeah, that was so cool. You know, we had already had a great day. It was one of those 25 fish apiece days. But then, I don't know, just meeting that couple, having that conversation, that's still one of the greatest memories of the day. And I think long after I forget about the fish that we caught that day, I'm going to remember that conversation.
So can I add one more person that we met, or couple that we met, or passed by?
Mm-hmm.
So...
yes, I know. Yes, yes. Interesting people.
So this is the third week of October. We're fishing, and there's literally nobody in the park this time of year. In part because of the traffic was still blocked from the north entrance. So we were walking down, and there's this path that people walk down to look at Yellowstone National Park.
At the river,
At the river, what am I saying? Mm-hmm. The river. And so we were walking up. So we had just fished all day, and we were a little bit tired. And I was gasping a little bit. I'm telling you, this walk up was a grind. But anyway, we walk, and here comes a couple. And literally, there's no one else within probably 50 miles. Just them and us, and they were both wearing masks. And I am not going to judge anybody. We are too, you know, too much political stuff with COVID.
Yeah, right.
But here we are. And then when she walked by me, she turned her head away from me, like she was afraid that she would get some sort of like in the flow of my breath or something. It was the oddest thing.
That was odd. Yeah.
It was a beautiful day. We were the only ones probably with
right. And you're outdoors.
You're outdoors. Yeah. It was just odd.
Yeah.
And they were young. They were looked to be 25 years old.
Yeah. Yep. No, that's right.
So they're wonderful people, I'm sure. It just seemed odd to us. So I'm not judging. So don't text us or email us with complaints.
It would be Dave at...
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. You can complain to me. But it was just one of those...
It was, yeah. Huh. It was, right.
Oh, wow.
I know.
All right.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, we've talked before about... Remember the guy that literally ran past us to get onto the river first?
Oh, my goodness.
It's like, okay,
behavior,
whatever.
Behavior, yeah.
So, but more than all, you know, more often than not, it's really positive things, and it's... Yeah, it's just kind of fun. We've had some good conversations with people and learn where they're from, what they do. So yeah, that's definitely a perk. You know, another perk, and this isn't going to be a surprise, but it's one that's fun to talk about, is just the interaction with nature. And I know a couple episodes, maybe three episodes ago, we raised this, but you know, while others will do this through, you know, mountain biking or photography or kayaking, mountain climbing, whatever, or bouldering. I didn't know what bouldering was until several years ago. I was in Rocky Mountain National Park, and these guys came, a couple guys and a gal came in with, it looked like they, you know, like they had backpacks on, but backpack straps and these huge cushions. And I asked them, what are you doing? Oh, well, we're going bouldering. Well, what they would do is they would come to a boulder that's maybe, I don't know, it's 10 feet high or 12 feet high, and they'd put that big cushion down below it, and they would try to climb up that, and I guess if they slipped and fell, they'd come back on the, you know, on the cushion. So, hey, a lot of ways to enjoy, engage with nature, but I don't know, fly fishing is a way that gives you just these prolonged hours outdoors when you... when you feel and see and touch things that you wouldn't otherwise experience. And you know, it's more than stopping and looking at the view at a scenic overlook. And hey, I like to do that too, but I think of the time, Dave, I'll never forget standing in the Madison River. It was actually in the Bear Trap as it snowed, and just the silence, the stillness, and the occasional splash of a fish. It was in March, and they were rising. I can't remember if it was a midge hatch or if there were actually BWOs on the water, but I just remember how still it was, and then occasional splash, and then once in a while you'd hear the flap of wings as ducks would lift off the water and head downriver. I mean, to be in that moment, you have to do more than just pull off the side of the road. Now, you can hike and do that, but I do think even fly fishing, you know, when I'm hiking, I'm moving along. Yeah, I may stop, but fly fishing, I stop. You know, we're stopped. We are in the same place, and I think that's what causes us to see and experience some things that, you know, you may have to be standing there for 5 minutes or 10 minutes and before something happens, but it really is cool.
So this is a correlative statement to what you're talking about, but some of you may be familiar with Toni Morrison, who's the novelist, and she was interviewed, I think it was by the Paris Review, and she was talking about specifically her writing rituals. So she would get up before dark, make a pot of coffee, and she describes her rituals, and she uses the phrase, it's as close to the non-secular as I get. And what she was talking about really, and the word is really holy or set apart. Historically, the word holy or people that were set apart were people who were like the nuns and for the priests. They were set apart for certain more holy activities. And the rest of us, the hoi polloi, we were not. So, but it's also the phrase secular versus non-secular can also be referred to as we think about our life, right? The grind, going to work. When you fly fish, you can do what's called, you can participate in the non-secular. And I think that's what you're describing, right? Mm-hmm. You experience the silence, the solitude, the occasional splash of the fish. You're talking about the Madison River. That's like a non-secular moment, or a holy moment, or something that is set apart. I would use the word mystical. And I think about often when I fish in the Driftless, sometimes, Steve, through the years, if you can't fish and I can't get somebody to go with me, I will go alone. And I will fish the Driftless. And I've been there right after a snow where we go to one of the rivers that you and I fish. And normally it's kind of muddy going in. If it's in the summertime, the farmer has corn that's really high. You have to kind of work through that.
Yeah.
In the winter, everything's flat. But if there's like a foot or two layer of snow, it's pristine when there's been nobody on the river. It's the morning after a snowfall. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, it is as, the word is really non-secular, but the word is really holy. It's set apart. It's different in kind from the rest of my life.
It really is. And I think we should add that. Let's make that part of our list. I mean, we've said that one of the perks is people you meet, interaction with nature. But then, it's getting close to that sacred, that set apart. As a pastor, as a Bible scholar, one of the things that I've noted at the beginning and the end of the Bible is rivers are involved, and they're just something, I was going to say there's something moving, pun intended, about a river, but there really is. Maybe that ties into your idea, but no, that there is something that's just, it's set apart. That's what the word holy means. It's set apart when you're out there in that moment. Yeah, you know, something else that I think another one of the perks, and again, we've talked about this before, so I don't have to elaborate on it. It really occupies my mind and momentarily turns off the noise. I mean, when I'm concentrating on my fly as it drifts along an undercut bank or through a riffle, We're trout are feeding. That's the one time I'm not thinking about anything else. So it's really a reprieve from replaying conversations or fretting about a problem that needs to be solved.
Yeah.
That really happens for me. But hey, this is getting a little bit heavy. So what's a kind of on the lighter side? What's another perk?
Well, I was going to ask you. You're going through a transition that you can't really talk about right now, but you know that it gets your mind off the transition,
yeah,
does it
yeah,
not?
It really does. Yeah, it's you know, even recording a podcast today. You're just thinking about something else, and fly fishing really does that, and that's. That is one of the perks. Now, it helps when you're catching fish. Then that really takes your mind off of everything else.
Yes, it does. Yes. All right, so this other one that you were talking about, yeah. It's about eating at nice restaurants. Let's just get
it's
it
It's an
there.
Excuse to eat at nice restaurants.
And
that's right.
Through the years, because we've fished so long together, we often fish the same rivers. We have these little liturgies mm-hmm. of our life. We hit these restaurants, and I'm not sure we can justify the expense of some of them. Like, for example, I think one year when we went to Montana, we ate at Chico Hot Springs two times.
Two times, yes. Yeah. And that's right down the road from where my folks used to live. And
yeah,
which,
make
of course,
excuses.
That,
go
that
right
has,
ahead.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with it. It's still, yeah, it's expensive. But it's a great end of the day, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It's in Paradise Valley.
Yeah.
And it's what, maybe 20, 30 miles from the north entrance?
Yeah, about 25, 30 miles to
yeah,
the
yeah,
north
yeah,
entrance.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
And
yeah.
you would mm-hmm. not think that a restaurant that isolated would have great food, but my goodness, it is unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. It's
unbelievable.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
That's right.
We lay down some serious cash for that, but it's.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. And then our wife, so you better take us to a nice place, you know, because the four of us, Dave and his wife and Jana and then myself and my wife Priscilla, we go out to eat sometimes, but I'm not, one time we've eaten at a restaurant that rivals Chico for price and taste.
Well, that was when we celebrated your 35 years of pastoral ministry.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
When you completed your PhD.
Yeah, that's right. Or when I thought I completed my PhD, and I still had a couple more little rounds of revisions to go. So,
oh my
yeah.
gosh, if but, that's not the ultimate grind.
Yeah, I know. So fly fishing would keep my mind off of that. So, yeah, so what are some other favorite places?
So we've eaten at a place called Bob's Bitchin' Barbecue in Wisconsin. And again, it's one of those places, small little town. We had eaten out in that small town many times. And we just didn't know about this until somebody found it on, when I was fishing it with someone else, they had found it on TripAdvisor or something, and it was right downtown.
Yeah.
Just this great little barbecue place.
Oh, yeah, a little hole in the wall. It was really, really good.
Oh, my gosh.
And that proves you don't always have to go to expensive places. I mean, you know, in Bozeman for years, we've got places there. Burger Bob's, you know, the sign says, sorry, we're open. It's really good.
Is that still open even after?
I think it is. Yeah. I think it is. And, you know, one of my favorites there was Colombo's pizza place. It's just a pizza joint on the Montana State campus. It's good. So, you know, and they're cheap, so it doesn't have to be expensive. But speaking of expensive, and this is a sad one, Sir Scott's Oasis in Manhattan, Montana, it just closed.
Huh.
The owners who, you know, our kids went to school with them, they decided to retire, and they sold the building. I think there's another restaurant in there, but they didn't really sell the restaurant, you know, the recipes and everything else. And it was just a meat and potatoes place. And of course, I would, you know, people would see all sorts of famous people in there. I never did. Now, I take that back. One time, maybe the last time I ate in there with family, we were back in Montana. Like, it might have been 2018, 2019, and we're eating there, and my son-in-law looks over and says, hey, there's Dick Vermeil, you know, the coach who won a Super Bowl with the Rams, and you know, there's been a lot of people through there, but it looks like a small-town cafe. But
it does.
But you get, you know, steak, seafood, and I mean, it was tremendous. But, Yeah, you know, we've thought about, we could start another podcast on places we've eaten, but it's because of fly fishing, right?
And we've actually really worked not to do the cliche in the small town, which is sometimes it might be some franchise restaurant. I'm not talking McDonald's, but some of the other more family style ones, and really work to go, okay, let's go as local as we can, even though it might be, it is a hole in the wall, right?
Yeah. And, man, how about the great sweet places. Shop? Is that what it's called? The sweet shop in Preston, Minnesota?
Yeah, the sweet and sandwich, the sweet shop and something like that.
Yeah, I should have looked that up. I'm sure you could Google that, but that's always really good. Just a great little place.
They make their own bread, so the sandwiches are fresh. Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
Oh, man, you're making me hungry, Dave.
I think we got to get
this. Let's wrap this podcast up so we can go eat, huh?
And we will.
Yes, right. And here's another one, and this is a good balance to what we've just said. Fly fishing is great exercise. Now, there's a couple of aspects of this. I mean, it's exercise in itself, and the way that Dave and I fish, I love drift boats, but I haven't been in a drift boat for 4 or 5 years, maybe. Yeah. We're bank fishermen, and we walk a long ways. I mean, those days in Yellowstone, we were walking 5 to 6 miles every day. And even in the driftless, it's usually, 2 to 3 miles
a
day. Yeah. And that seems a little bit easier walking. But it's great exercise. But here's the other thing. For me, it's a motivation to go to the gym the rest of the year to try to keep in shape. Sometimes it's maybe not even enough of a motivation, but if I get to the gym, it's like, okay, why do I want to do this? Well, because this is going to keep me fly fishing longer.
Working out for me as I've gotten older, you just don't think about it for, you know, the abs, which I could never, ever have again. But it is about making sure you keep your legs strong, because once your legs go
and
then you're toast in terms of fly fishing, you're really limited.
Yeah, that's
right. And obviously cardio and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's a whole different, to me, it's a whole different view on what's important. And so it does give me motivation to do it, although probably not enough, as you said.
Yeah.
So I would say the last one here before we wrap this thing up is that fly fishing really provides a context for some great conversations. And I think the thing that you and I have observed is how the conversations have changed through the years. And you and I are in this segue in our life right now where we're transitioning to think about maybe the next 30 years, which are different in kind from the first 60, and you know, who knows?
I could be dead
in 5 years, right? But and so, but you're not thinking about achievement. You're not thinking about, at least I'm not. I'm thinking about, obviously you're thinking about money because I'm a small business owner and I'm thinking about, okay, I got to save more and I got to do all this. But it's just different because you, again, as I said in the previous podcast, we're at that age where you have more money than you do time. And more money doesn't mean that you're rich. It just simply means that your time is limited. So you and I have had some great conversations and just recently, which we can talk about maybe later. But, you know, what are the biggest challenges that we're facing in our work?
Yeah. So where do you want to be in the next 10 years?
Where do you want to be in the next year? Are you going to move? What do you know? And a lot of pain around kids. We're talking about kids and, you know, what you want from them or what you're seeing in their lives. Not just pain, but the joy as well, or grandkids. I have no grandkids. It's so interesting that when you and I take a day, drive up to the Driftless, fish for 3 or 4 hours, come back, there's always a theme that emerges.
That's really true. And it's different than if we just go out to lunch.
Absolutely, you know, it's true.
I don't know. Maybe I'm sure some of it's time because it gives more extended time. But I think it's more than that, too. Just the rhythm of the day. There's some times where... Yeah, we get to talk as we're walking in, and then we're fishing and we're by ourselves, and so there's some quiet. But then we come back and we usually circle back to that topic, and
You know what's funny is so often, and I know you must think this same way, but we'll be on a trip, we'll do these one-day trips, or even on a 3 or 4 day trip, and you'll tell me a story that you've probably told me 90 times.
Of course.
But there's some nuance to it. There's something that you added that I don't remember you telling me before.
Yeah.
And so there's, it's like this, these stories keep coming back. They get, maybe they're less true than they used to be. I don't know.
Hope not. Yeah. Yeah.
But they have more color. There's, yes, you know, there's more, yeah, nuance. You learn something new. So there's this, and that's a way that I think you deepen friendship, is through the storytelling.
Yes. Oh, it's so true. So what we're saying is, fly fishing obviously has its own reward. It's the thrill of catching fish, but it has other perks too. And some of them are a little bit lighter, kind of fun. You know, others are more, wow, there's some life-changing conversations that happen. So, hey, grab your rod and head for the river. Enjoy the fishing, but be thankful for the other perks that come with it too. We're ready to hit the river again too, but we'll be back in a few weeks with another batch of episodes. That's all for today. Thanks again for listening. I'm Steve Mathewson.
And I'm Dave Getz.
Until next time, we are two guys in a river.
For the love of fly fishing.